All right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined, as always, it is...
Matty Juice! What is going on, Tommy? Episode 74 of the Fresh Juice podcast. And as always, it's great to have you on the show, Tom.
It is great to have. I'll agree with you there. It's great to have me on this show. We got a great one for you all this week. We are off the heels of two Certified Fresh Juices in a row. If you're new to this show, Certified Fresh Juice is our highest rating. So if you want to go back and look at those episodes, I also kind of spoiled what the ratings are. But if you're interested to see what we said about them, it's a good time over there. But will we repeat it this week is the question. And we are reviewing a game called The Three-Peat. Oh, yep. Boy. Listen, he's wearing an Eagles shirt. It might not happen. Die in the Dungeon. A new dice builder. It's in early access. I got to play the prologue at one point. I enjoyed it. So kind of had it on my radar. So pretty, not like hyped, but like, you know, I was excited to play it. So we'll see if it meets expectations or really exceeds them. So we'll get to that. But first, how you doing? How was your weekend?
I am doing good. Yeah, I actually, I had off of work today. And
really?
I took off of work, I should say, just because there's been some shitty stuff happening. Mm. And so my boss is like, hey, if you need to take a day, feel free to take it. And it won't like count or whatever. So, So I was like, all right, I'll do Monday. So, it's been good to have a little bit of a long weekend there. I had like a good panini today. It was a pastrami panini. And then what else did I do this weekend? Oh, my dad came over to the house and we like built some shelves. We're trying to we have this like weird, awkward room underneath our stairs. It's like, we call it Harry Potter's closet, but, sure. Or Harry Potter's room, I guess. We just kind of, it was a mess in there. So, my dad came over and we like built some shelves that kind of go on just the side there and kind of made it like a second pantry. It never really had like a purpose. So that's great because our pantry was kind of like overflowing and just messy. It was good. You know, it's good to get something done in the house. And, it kind of is that quality of life improvement, which is great. Very you know, nice. Getting a new dishwasher too. We're doing adult things this past weekend. Because our dishwasher started leaking everywhere. And I think it's over 20 years old probably. Because it's from the last owners. Did some adult things this week, you know, not too exciting, but I'm excited as someone in my 30s now, like these things. I'm like, yeah, this is actually exciting for me. Because it's gonna improve my daily life. So there you go, Tom. There it is.
Yeah, you got to get it in before the baby for sure.
Yeah,
you know, then all the focus goes that way. But listen, my weekend was busy. I had people over, or I should say, the wife had people over. I guess we're together, so we had people over, and we've met. We partied the night away. We went to bed at like 4 a.m. And I haven't done that in a very long time. And I was feeling it yesterday. And I was feeling it while I was playing the game that we reviewed or going to be reviewing. So I wonder if that's going to skew my opinion. I don't think so. I think I have a pretty good grasp on how I feel about this game. So it's good. And then last night, saw a buddy that's home visiting from Canada. So, you know, we're trying to keep him here, you know, because... Well, we miss them is pretty much it. So that's it. Like last week, you know, I'm trying to eat a little bit cleaner. So I like kind of trying to get on like a pretty good like plan, like rice, protein, veggies for lunch and dinner. And, you know, it worked out for pretty much the whole week until the weekend. I'm giving the weekends back to myself, you know, that would be crazy. I can't be doing that all the time, but going well. I like doing it. Makes me feel a little bit better, clearer head and stuff like that. So, you know, hopefully it shows in the podcast. Yeah. Or it might not. We will see. But hey, we do have some news for you all, as we always do. We do have a Discord. Check it out. It's in the show notes below, the Fresh Juice Discord. It's awesome. You can find out about cool games, demos, whatever. You can chat with us, chat with anybody. Well, not anybody, but anybody in the Discord. So check that out. And before we do get to the game review, we have some indie game news. You know, for a long time, people thought that this was just a Balatro podcast. But it's been a bit, minute since we had any Balatro news. We got a new Friends of Jimbo pack. I don't know if it hit today. I played Balatro this morning before I saw the announcement, so I didn't even check. But it is the kind of like Xbox edition. And yep. Because it's out on Game Pass now, which I guess is it never was. I didn't even realize. And alongside that, there are, you know, this Friends of Jimbo skin packs for all the face cards. And there was like a bunch. It was like Assassin's Creed.
Mm-hmm.
I think Fallout.
What
else am I missing?
Yeah, we got Assassin's Creed, Bugsnax, Critical Role, Dead by Daylight, Fallout, and it says Vault Tech for Fallout, so I guess that's the character.
Oh yes, thumbs up guy.
Yeah, Rust, Civilization 7, Slay the Princess. So
a lot
of them in this Friends of Jimbo. I think more than the other ones, right? I think the other ones are like 4 or 5. This is like, I don't know, 6 or 7.
That is, that is more. I'll tell you that. Yeah, no, it's pretty cool. It's not a lot of games I've played or spent a lot of time playing.
Eight.
What was that? It's 8.
It's 8.
Yeah. There you go. It's double. It's double the amount.
Yeah. But,
you know, some of those were like some kind of curveballs. When I saw Rust, I was like,
yeah,
that's like a game that's like stood the test of time in a lot of ways. And I remember when it first came out and I played a little bit of it, and that was like maybe 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe not that long, but like, I think I was in college. I'm not sure, but
yeah, it's old. Yeah. It's an oldish game, you know?
Yeah.
What interests me about that too, is that like out of all those games, like Rust doesn't, as far as I know, it doesn't really have like a mascot, right? Like I wouldn't necessarily
like
see something in like Balatro, you know, the Balatro art style, and be like, that's Rust. I'd be like, that's a naked dude with a torch. Like, what game is that?
Yeah.
Which is actually what it is. I see like the rock and stuff, but I guess the way he's holding the rock, that's like a Rust kind of thing. So
sure.
I don't know. Yeah, but definitely an interesting game to have on here out of all of these. But good to see Balatro, you know, doing another update. 4 of these before the content update. Pretty wild. 4 Friends of Jimbo.
Well, listen, it's got to be coming. I did read, I think I talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago. I did read a interview from Local Thunk talking about the update and was kind of keeping the lips sealed, as it were. But you also put Local Thunk posted something. Was this about the Peggy issue?
Yes, yeah. So Local Thunk tweeted, after an appeal from my publisher, Balatro has been reclassified by Peggy from 18 plus to 12 plus. And he goes on to say, this is a good step from Peggy, bringing nuance to their ratings criteria that used to be 18 plus or nothing. I hope this change will allow developers to create without being unfairly punished. So, yeah, I think this is an awesome step. I think there should be you know, a lot more nuance in like ratings in general. Like, why do we only have like 4 ratings, like for games, or I mean, even for movies? Like, I feel like you can kind of, you know, I guess it might be a little bit different for movies because those are kind of set in what they are. Games, you know, are I guess a little bit open ended, can have updates, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
But I think this is great because Local Thunk has clearly been against kind of the gambling view that some people have with Balatro, and like, oh, it should be in like a casino or whatever, which we might have said on the show when we first played it, because we would win money. That's why. But yeah, I think this is a, you know, it's a small update, but it's also could have like a big ripple effect for those ratings out there. So
yeah,
pretty cool.
Peggy, about time, Peggy, or as I like to call her, Margaret. which I believe is the somehow the nickname for Margaret is Peg. I don't understand.
Oh my God. Did you That's not know true. That? No, I did, but I forgot about that. Yeah. That is true. That's crazy.
Crazy, crazy.
Yeah.
But other than that, Steam Next Fest is going on right now. So a lot of demos out there. I think next week we're going to probably cover some demos that we checked out. That would be kind of a fun episode. I think we did that maybe one of the Next Fests. But, you know, keep an eye out for that. And if you see any really cool demos, let us know. Because demos are awesome. You get to get a little taste. So, and like half the games that we ended up really liking, we found on a demo initially. Now, speaking of a demo or a prologue, is kind of the weird like middle ground between early access and a demo. But Die in the Dungeon, the game that we're reviewing this week, was a prologue that I had played. What is it? It is a dice builder, roguelike dice builder. This is not unlike Slay the Spire, but the description is, fight your way through a mysterious dungeon in this deck-building, turn-based roguelike game where you don't use cards, but dice. Deal with enemies by combining powerful dice on your board, boost their effects with magical relics, and risk it all hoping for a good roll on unexpected encounters. Now, this gameplay, if you're familiar with, I think Slay the Spire is probably the best example we have of this kind of formula. Your person is on the left, the enemies are on the right, and you have cards, in this case, dice, to play. Now, you're going to see the classic, roguelike, what do you call it? Like the web, the map of, you know, multiple different like choices in terms of which direction to go on the map to get to the final boss, right? And that's very indicative of what we see in a lot of games right now that are trying to do this. Now, where the cards are not the dice are, and they all will have a certain kind of ability, whether it's blocking or attacking. There are some that buff a certain area. Now, there is a board where you can fit these dice into, which is kind of how you're going to create different kinds of strategies and synergies. And it all depends sometimes on how you place these dice. So there's the basic deck that you get is going to have some attacks, some blocks, some heals, and some boost dice or whatever. So the boost will basically light up certain blocks in the block that you're playing the dice for you to increase the numbers of the dice that you rolled. It sounds all convoluted. It's very actually simple, right? So basically your hand is all the dice and they get rolled and they all have X amount of sides to them. And, you know, if it's a four-sided dice, it's only going to have four options. If it's a six-sided dice, it's going to have six options. And there are ways to kind of modify them as you go through. So you're kind of going through, you see the intentions of the enemies. It's turn-based, so you can be like, okay, this enemy is going to attack me for 10. I should focus on blocking and maybe sneaking a little bit of damage too. So you'll load up on blocking dice first. You always, I don't know if you always, but like against most enemies, you will go first. So like if you increase your block, you will have defense before the enemy hits you. Because as soon as you submit your dice, everything happens. But you go first, which is good to know. Now, sometimes you'll both get the attack off. I don't know if that's all the time. I noticed it when I died once. I was like, I thought I was going to kill the enemy, but I didn't. Now, you can choose which enemy you're targeting, which is kind of cool. So you can kind of plan out your turn like that. And yeah, it's kind of the gameplay, right? You're just kind of going through. When you win, you get the option to pick one of three new dice, add it to your deck. And then there's also these relics that work a lot like the relics in Slay the Spire, where they're going to give you kind of a permanent boon or a permanent buff to certain things, or will reward you for playing certain kind of dice in a certain kind of way. And yeah, the challenge here though is when you run into more difficult enemies, they'll change the way your board is. They'll block certain squares on your board to make it tougher for you to do boosts and stuff like that. So it's a pretty fun gameplay experience. I feel like the only thing that I wanted more out of the actual gameplay was more synergies, because this is where, like, I like these dice building games. I do. I think they're a lot of fun, but sometimes it just feels like without the card aspect, you have a lot more of a limited range of, like, design, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the hardest thing here, because, you know, it's they have, like, interesting dice for you to use, but sometimes you're like, well, I don't want to just another attack. I want the attack to do this or that. And, like, you get a little bit of that here and there. You can, like, modify dice to have, like, poison or whatever. But it felt like it wasn't really coming as much as I wanted in the dice aspect of things. But that being said, I think as you unlock more dice and more relics, it gets a little bit better. But in the initial gameplay loop, first couple gameplay loops, it felt like you were kind of sticking to similar strategies every single time, which is probably fine. Like, it's still a pretty deep game. It's in early access. So I feel like there's still a lot of room to grow these synergies, and it's still a really classic gameplay loop that if you kind of like Slay the Spire or stuff like that, you're kind of like this.
Yeah, I will say, I think they did a good job of, like, the onboarding for the game, because to me, you know, there's, you know, and we'll talk about this also on the art side, but there's a good amount to this game that you need to remember, just because I've never played, like, a dice builder before. So this is kind of, you know, it took me a bit to realize, oh, the, you know, every time I'm drawing, it's rolling the dice for me. Mm-hmm. And then that value, you know, applies. So, I didn't know if it was something like I'm rolling the dice, you know, and based on that, you know, something happens. So, you know, I think they did a good job explaining that. And, like, you know, it's definitely was a game for me where, like, I was going in with different expectations with the gameplay. And then, as I went through the onboarding, it, like, you know, I was like, oh, like, okay, it's not what I thought, but this is not, like, super complicated, but there are a good amount of kind of systems and, like, a good amount of text you have to read if you're just learning, you know, how to play, and, you know, understanding what the icons are and all that sort of stuff. So it had, I guess, more of a learning curve is what I'm trying to say than I was originally kind of thinking. But I did find the, you know, the encounters pretty rewarding. You know, obviously I think it's a lot more fun, like, when you're on the offensive than when you're trying to just survive and you're just throwing up any blocks that you have. But I definitely agree about kind of the variety of, like, synergies. Like, there's not a lot of, I guess, really interesting effects that can happen, at least, like, in the beginning. Like, it takes a while to get those things, like, when you reach a shop or, like, you know, where you can apply things to dice and then you're kind of, you know, playing it a little bit differently. So I can definitely see how, you know, if maybe there were cards, I think it's just because we play a lot of card games and those effects on those cards are typically, or, you know, you play a lot, but I've played a decent amount of card games and, like, the effects that happen on cards are, like, a lot more significant than, like, mm-hmm. what's happening on the dice. I found a lot of the time, like, I would have, like, leftover dice, like, extra attacks that, like, I just didn't need. And I just kind of, like, you know, cruise through, like, certain enemies. You know, and certain levels kind of felt easier than other levels. But yeah, it would be cool if maybe the variety of dice that you have when you kind of start, like your starting deck or whatever you want to call it, is it just kind of has maybe some poison cards are thrown in there, like you said, or I forget some of the other abilities, but I think there's an ability where, like, if you attack one enemy, it also does a certain amount of damage to the other enemy, like things like that, like kind of more interesting sort of synergies maybe could kind of happen with that. especially with those tiles that you get where it like buffs the attack damage or block damage or whatever it is, buffs the value. But one thing with the game that like maybe you can explain it to me, but with the gameplay, I don't understand the board. Why does the board look like that? Is that just like, does it not really have a difference? Because for those who aren't watching, like it's a diamond shape and there's 9 slots. But I don't know, like for whatever reason, like the orientation of the board, I was just like, I don't, am I supposed to put the block? Like, does it matter where I'm putting the block? Like that sort of stuff, I just didn't know really. I guess it doesn't really matter, but does it reach a point? I mean, maybe I just didn't get there. Does it reach a point where like where you're placing these specific things matters?
Well, the boost cards do matter, right? Where you're placing them, because they will give a boost to a spot 4 spaces away or all within 1 space away, yada, yada, yada. So it matters. Now, this is not the only board, though. At you get different shaped boards as the game progresses. You unlock stuff. And, you know, it is an interesting piece to it. I don't really know if there is some kind of, like, game that I'm not familiar with, like a real dice game that I'm not familiar with that it's kind of based on, to be honest. But yeah, they're as the boards change, the synergies definitely change as well. But yeah, I know it could be a little weird because you're like, why is it like this? There's not really a lot of explanation. It just is. But I think that is part of the interesting variation in the game, the replayability, is you start using almost more like akin to the Ballad Show. You start using different decks.
Yeah.
You start using different boards. And the boards that you are given access to as the game progresses become either more challenging or just like will work better with different dice, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's I think that's an understandable thing to be a little like not worried about, but like confused by, because it is a little weird. It's unique to this game from what I can tell.
Yeah, for sure. And maybe it's because I kind of went in thinking this is going to be about like rolling. I'm going to roll each die. And that just doesn't happen. You know, like it's obviously like you're I don't know, just placing dice on a board that have already been rolled. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's probably just how I kind of went into it. But by no means do I think it's like a real issue. I just didn't know if there was like major significance behind it. But yeah, I think this game does a good job in the gameplay category of capturing like why Slay the Spire is so great. Like I think that there's enough depth to it, even in early access, to really just, you know, kind of make every run interesting.
Yeah.
At least like from the runs that I played, it felt like each one I was like having a kind of a different strategy based on like the different enemies and the different pathing that you have to go through. So I think in the gameplay category, they did a great job with that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I think there's a lot of positives to take from it. It's a really great start for early access. Now, in story wise, there's not a whole lot going on here. You are this frog. I don't even remember his name, but you're a frog and you're going through the dungeon. There are other characters you can unlock, but you start off with just the frog, and that's it. It's pretty cool. It's like the world they built is pretty neat. Like it's silly. It doesn't take itself too seriously. The enemy design, we'll talk about in the visuals, but like in terms of like the choices they made for the way they built this world felt pretty familiar to me, if that makes sense. Like, like I remember like playing like DS games and stuff like that had this same feel, right? It feels very 2002, 2003 in a way. This doesn't feel like a full blast from the past, like a pixel art game. You know, it has this kind of like Game Boy Advance / Nintendo first Nintendo DS cartoonishness to it, which I appreciated, like in terms of the world building. But yeah, no story to be found here.
Yeah, I definitely see what you're saying. And I kind of think it's like a similar story with like Slay the Spire, where like Slay the Spire art style is like, you know, not kind of reminiscent of like pixel art or like kind of retro in that way, but it definitely seems like a little dated from when it kind of came out, which I think was like on purpose. But yeah, I, you know, as far as like story, I mean, I think it would be cool if there was more of a story, because this, the character that you play as, like the little frog dude, right? Like, yeah, you said, like, he's awesome. So maybe that's something that they'll be adding in their roadmap, maybe some more story elements, but it's probably, you know, not a priority for them.
I mean, there is a roadmap, and there is mention of story, and we'll get to the roadmap before we give a rating, but I hope that that happens as well. Visual wise, I already touched on it. I like this art style. I imagine I could have played this on my Game Boy Advance SP, right? And it would have ran fine, I think, hopefully. But like, it just is. It's cute, right? It's a cute game where sometimes they can push these kinds of games in either direction. I feel like, you know, I've played a decent amount of like deck builder roguelikes or dice builders even that are like, this is like heavy, dark, like fantasy, boom, boom, boom. And then you play stuff like this and Ember Ward, that's a little bit more vibrant and has like cutesy characters, but still delivers on the gameplay aspect. And I think this game looks great. Easy on the eyes. I like the character design. I already mentioned, like, there's a lot of life in this game, you know? And even, like, this is something that I would give this game over Slay the Spire. I think that watching the way these characters move is so much more interesting to me than how Slay the Spire does it, right? And Slay the Spire is a certified classic at this point, right? And I'm looking at this, I'm like, I wish Slay the Spire might have been a little bit more like this. So I really like it. You know, the idea, I mean, it's a simple idea, but like the choice to make each color of dice do something different, so like you can start to remember. You don't even have to be like, oh, that's attack for two, I'm just going to place that, I know that. Or that one's splash damage for eight or whatever, like that, the player in the video just put. So like it's a really clean looking game. I like the font too. It's pretty fun. So yeah, I really like the way this game looks.
I'm with you. I think the art style is really interesting. The characters you come across look cool. I mean, especially like this guy that's on the screen right now. And yeah, I was also kind of like examining the enemies, because you know they were interesting looking. So yeah, I'm a big fan of you know, the way the game looks. It also kind of has almost like especially like in these, I don't know, I get like point and click, like flash game kind of vibes, like with like you know, you got like the ink and the map of all the levels on the right, and then you got like your bag down on the left, but it looks like it's kind of sitting on these rocks and almost kind of like establishes like a foreground, right? And then what you're doing is kind of, I guess, behind that. So I think they did a great job. Yeah, art wise, I also agree about the dice. It makes it easier to learn when you're like, oh, the green one heals, that makes sense. The red one attacks, that makes sense. The blue one blocks, like that makes sense to me too. And then like when, you know, you get like poison, the poison attribute, it's like a little bubbly kind of poison icon that is in like the corner. So yeah, all that makes sense. Really, the only kind of gripes I had with the art kind of more has to do with like, all right, so the UI, I enjoy the artistic side of the UI, but it definitely took me a bit to like figure out like where I really should be looking, or like what I know it kind of points out, like for the enemies, like this icon means like their intention that they're going to attack, and this is their health and all that sort of stuff. But I still kind of found myself getting a little like lost a bit. I think they maybe could do a better job of like, you know, you have a basically a dagger icon that goes next to the enemy that you've chosen to target. Maybe if that was a little bit more like pronounced a bit, maybe like, because you're in a dungeon, maybe there's kind of like a little kind of spotlightish sort of thing on the one that you're aiming to attack, because I assume it's kind of dark down there. And also because like the, you know, the background is like pretty active. I did find myself like sometimes like losing like, you know, oh, this, that's how much they were attacking for. Like, I just would, it would not be something I would like look at and check because of how it looks. I don't know. It wasn't like drawing my eye basically. So it's just like small things like that, I think, are just a part of early access. Like that, I'm sure they'll fine tune that. And if we play this game in like a year, right, I'm sure it'll like, we'll notice all those little differences that they've made. So it really wasn't anything that took away from the gameplay, and the art overall is just like fantastic. I mean, like, look at this like relic shop here. Like, that is so cool looking. If you're not watching the video, I highly recommend it, because we especially with games like this, we get to show off like how awesome the art is. But yeah, so I think overall, yeah, the art was great. Just those small little things that I really think would make it like perfect if they were to like tweak those.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And I will say, I really enjoyed the music here too. The sound was like nothing like crazy sound effects wise that I was like really jumping out, but like it had this really adventurous almost and like Indiana Jones-esque feel to the soundtrack. Like even at one point, because I started doing something on a different screen, I had put it down, and I'm like listening to it, I'm like, okay, now I want to play more of this again actually. And it felt pretty good. There were a couple blips there, and I think that might be just something that needs to be like smoothed out, where I can tell when it was looping, and I was like, oh, okay, they need to figure that out. But hopefully they can smooth that out. It's probably more on the performance side thing that they got to figure stuff like that out. But the music itself was pretty hype, and I know that I think they're going to put out the OST, which is, you know, clearly means that they have a lot of faith in the rest of the music that they already have. So,
yeah,
very excited for that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the music was great. It fit perfectly for like the environment you're in. Like you already feel, you know, just looking at the screen, like we're watching it right now without the music. Like you can already like kind of picture what like great music for this would be, because you feel like, yeah, you're on that adventure, and you're going through these different like dungeon rooms. So I'm with you. Yeah, I didn't really like, you know, have a lot to say about the sound effects. One thing though that I forgot to say with the art, which also ties into the sound effects, is I think it would be cool to, you know, as each turn starts and you get your kind of hand of the dice, is like have them roll in. Like let me see the animation. I know they kind of like roll on the bottom, but like make it a little bit more like
pronounced.
Like, what is it going to roll to, you know? Yeah. Oh, I got a great hand, you know? And I know that might like make the sessions a little bit longer, but I think it could be really rewarding and have like that great kind of like dice sound, like rolling sound, that kind of accompanies it. I don't know, little details like that I think could be cool. But you know, maybe it's also something that they tested, especially with the sound, and they found it like too annoying every single time that you're, you know, because you're drawing your hand every turn. So I don't know, just a little something like that. But music wise, I agree, really great and fits with the overall vibe of the game.
Well, you know, you're kind of onto something there with kind of giving the player a choice to have this pronounced version, right? Like, I play Balatro at like full speed now, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like, I'll see it pop up on TikTok if people are playing it or whatever, and they're still playing at the one time speed, which at first like bothers me. And I'm like, oh, you're getting like the full effect of what each card is triggering on your jokers and stuff like that, rather than it just kind of going a little faster. And you can't really, you could try to guess, like if you didn't know, you could try to guess what is happening with your jokers, but like you get the full effect. I think they could kind of benefit from having what you just suggested as like, oh, make the dice more important. Like not important. Make them hyper. You got to, you know, like, you want to be hyped to see these dice and what they do, right? Rather than like, oh, okay, here's my options now. Let me see what I can do with it. So I think you're onto something right there. But
well, thank you.
Oh, no problem. Hey, listen. Yeah. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, but you make a great point too about like Balotro, like, you know, when they could easily have just kind of like every time you get a new hand, just like rise it up from the bottom, right? But instead mm-hmm. they're, you know, like yeah. giving you your hand. And then when you're the jokers are going and everything, like, you know, like it's just very satisfying to have that happen, regardless of like the speed that you're playing at. You kind of amped for that. So yeah, I you know, again, what I already said, but I think it'd be great to have that in a game like this. I think it'd work really well. It yeah. doesn't work well in like every kind of game, but there's something like so specific, right, about like dice. Like when you say like, oh, I got some dice, you know, like, I don't know. I just picture
the sound
Ocean's
effect.
11. Yeah,
yeah, and, the sound effect of a dice crap. Roll is like something we're all familiar with and like you yeah, kind of exactly. look for. So yeah, yeah, if they could lean into that, it'd be nice. Now, performance wise, I mentioned, I guess I had some issues, but like it was like some music stuff, but nothing really like visually or like game breaking or anything like that. It is early access, but this is one of those games like this is a full game that they're just going to add everything else to as they go through. But did yeah. you have any issues?
No, yeah, no issues on my end. I think it ran great, and no, it's a not a very fast paced game, like moving game. So I think it would run well on a lot of different things. And I think Slay the Spire is on mobile, right? So I could see this like,
oh, yeah.
making its way to mobile at some point for sure. I mean, kind of like what you were saying, like it could run on a Game Boy SP.
Yeah.
It definitely feels like that. So yeah, I didn't have any performance issues. I didn't notice any audio issues either, but doesn't mean they're obviously not there if you were hearing them. So maybe it was a level I didn't get to or something like that, where that bug is. But yeah, no problem from my end, Tommy.
Yeah, and before we do get to the rating, I do want to talk about the roadmap, what they have up so far. And you can see this on the Steam page. This is what comes with the game in its early access state in the original launch. Three areas, so like full areas to a boss, which is kind of what you get with like Slay the Spire anyway. Three areas filled with new enemies and five unique bosses that you can run into. Three playable characters, each with a unique board and exclusive dice types. 100 relics to collect and experiment with. 31 dice, different dice types with 14 combinable properties. So there's probably more there that like, as I play more of, I'll see more of those synergies. Four extra difficulty levels, 40 plus achievements and unlockables, and full localization in 11 languages. So that's a lot for the launch, I would say. And then the next step is Q2 2025 with controller support, which I do think this could use as soon as possible. More difficulties and endless mode, and then all they put there else was and more with the hand pointing up emoji. And then what's next? Better events, so they're gonna have like live events, like dice rolling events to come back. A codex update with the bestiary and lore, which is always great for story in a game like this, where you're like, maybe I don't need it during the game, but I want to read about it, like you know, after a run or something like that. More content with enemies, relics, dice, and more. And then story, ending, unlocks, and secrets. So story's on the mind for sure. So pretty interesting. That's going to bring us to the rating. Our ratings are as follows. Certified Fresh Juice. These are our Balotros of the world. A steal. Things like The Cub and a couple other games that we've given a steal at this point. Quite a few. Get on sale. A lot of games fall into this category where they're not quite great, but there's redeemable qualities and you might want to wait till it's on sale. Exactly what it says. And then manager special, maybe a deep discount or free to play because we didn't really think it was that good, or maybe we're just really not into the genre, but that is that category. And then last is spoiled milk, games that we think are really not worth anybody's time. So, Matt.
Yo, you go first, Tom. You go first.
All right, I'll go first. Take it easy. All right. So, I like this game. I think this is a good game, and it's like honestly a great start in this early access. And there's just a couple things I want to see more of, and you know, based on the roadmap, I think we're going to get more of it. This is a game I'll continue to play. You know, it's kind of right up my alley. I'm excited for when it's probably a little bit better to play on like Steam Deck, or we see even like a Switch release at some point, or even mobile, of course. But it's good. I don't think it's at its fullest potential yet, so I have to give it a steal because, you know, the price here is $12.99, and right now it's off 25% off, so I think it's just under $10, and that's until March 7th. Is that what I'm reading? And it's a good game. I like a lot of what's going on here. I want to probably explore it more, but I think that's a good sign. I think even just talking about it more in this podcast, like, I was like, oh, you know what? I'll kind of want to hop back in and go another run or two tonight while I'm editing, or after I'm editing, I guess, or while I'm waiting for the video to export. But, you know, it's a good game. I think it's a steal. I could very well see at 1.0 this kind of creep up into the Certified Fresh juice range. Now, what about you, Matt?
Yeah. All right. Fine. Chill. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think that there's just a few things the game kind of missed on a little bit. And, you know, it could be obviously a result of it being in early access, you know, didn't have time to add it in yet or whatever it might be. But I think it's still a great game. Honestly, my biggest kind of concern with the game is I feel like people will probably play this and then Slay the Spire 2 comes out, and they probably won't play it as much just because it is similar to Slay the Spire. You know, it has a lot of influence from it. So I still think it's a great game, given it a steal. I just think that there's, you know, hopefully they can add those sort of things before Slay the Spire 2 comes out. Cause I just have a feeling once that game comes out and they add those things that we've been looking for, most people maybe won't care. And like, that's what I don't want to hear. Like, I don't want that to happen, but just because they are very similar kind of games from the like core gameplay aspect, but you know, still giving it a steal. I will continue to play it. I also we were going through the show, was like, yeah, I want to do another run, you know, try something else. So I will definitely continue to play it, but curious to see basically how it does when Slay the Spire 2 comes out. Maybe it's sticky, you know, maybe it's people are going to keep playing it. It does have a great rating on Steam. I think it's very positive. So with like over 500 reviews. So definitely has impressed some people, and I'm right there with them. I think I went in thinking something else for this game and came out, oh, this was actually had more depth than I was thinking for an early access game, and was quite fun. And, you know, I kind of was relating it to like Ballionaire when we were playing that. I'm like, that just didn't have like a lot of depth really to it. It was like RNG focused. This one, I felt a little bit more in control and had had a good time playing that. So, yeah, there you go.
And boom. The one thing that I will say, add there at the end is, you know, you bring up an interesting point about Slay the Spire 2. Listen, Slay the Spire 2 could suck. I doubt it, but it could. Yeah. It's coming out early access for some reason. But this does fill a niche, I think, that like something like Slay the Spire and other deck builder roguelikes don't fill. And there are a lot of people who just do not want to play a card game, right?
Yeah.
And true. They'll be like, I like dice. That's more my speed. That's what I like. So I think there are a decent amount of people that this could even be like their foray into the genre, right?
So that's true.
So I do think it has a lot going for it there, not only with that and also just being really cute to look at. So
yeah, and it's also got, you know, you make a good point because it's also got the benefit of like what we talk about with Balatrove. Like people know poker, right? Mm-hmm. Like they, you know, so you already kind of have a foundation. So like when it comes to dice, like people know how dice work, right?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously very simple, but even like more than just the six-sided die, like people, especially in our generation, you know, with, I don't know, every time we go to PAX, there's what, 10 different dice vendors selling
D&D's the all the biggest it's ever been. Yeah. This kind of fits kind of right in there a little bit. So
yeah, it's got dungeon in the name too. There you go.
My God. But no, Let us know if you check it out. I saw it was on Capullo's wish list, so if you're listening, Cap, you might want to get it. Who knows? And it's like less than $10. Anyway, next week, Next Fest demos, and we do have some listener questions. First, coming from Capullo. There have been several indie video game to board game adaptations. For example, Binding of Isaac, Four Souls, Slay the Spire, Eternal, Frostpunk, etc. Have you tried any? If you did, what's your favorite one and which one would you recommend to a casual board game playgroup?
Great question, Capullo. So I don't think I've played an indie game board game before. The most recent like video game to board game that I played was a Dark Souls board game, which as far as I was aware wasn't like influenced by another game. I find like a lot of these adaptations for movies to game board game or video game to board game, they're just kind of like, it's another version of Catan, right? But it's just like themed to this IP or something like that. So I don't know if that's, I can't imagine that's the case with some of these indie games, but the Dark Souls one was fun. I don't think I'd recommend it as a casual board game to play, but it, obviously that's, I don't really think is considered an indie game. Dark Souls might be, I mean, at the time it might've been, Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think. Are there any you've played, Tom? Loop Hero?
No, that one. I mean, that would be the perfect kind of game for it.
Baltro. I play poker.
I would say the board game version of Baltro. It's called Poker. you can go with like you don't. Even, it's not even that hard to find a play group. You just go to a place that smells like cigarettes. they're all there. And you can, it's costs a lot, or you can gain cash, which is cool too. I'm trying to think, like video game to board game.
Yeah. I'm looking that up right now.
I heard good things about the Slay the Spire one. You know, really kind of emulated the Slay the Spire video game experience pretty well. Taking a look here. Was it Frogger?
Yeah, I saw that too.
Maybe. Frogger. Golly. Why does it show me Othello? There's no, what is that? That was a board game.
Yeah.
Right. I played the Minecraft card game, like board game card game. That was fine. I don't think I'd recommend it.
Yeah, it's tough. Apparently, Caves of Cud has a dice game or something. I'm looking at a list of a bunch of indie games that have like tabletop games.
Really?
Actually, Dark Souls technically is on here for these indie games, but these are just video games, not just indie. So. I don't know. That's a good question. I also think the thing is that like a lot of these indie studios, you know, like I would imagine it's pretty expensive making something physical, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like only the premium indie games probably have these tabletop games. And yeah, I just haven't really played them. Maybe it's just because of my, kind of understanding that like a lot of these adaptations are usually not like the most unique board games. They're just trying to sell their IP again. But I don't know. I mean, if you're saying the Slay the Spire one sounds good, I think that could be a really interesting board game if every run is basically different, right? That could be pretty cool. And it kind of gives me almost like Boss Monster vibes, which I, you know, is not based on a video game, but
kind of, right?
Yeah, like sort of in a way. Yeah, like an NES game, but Boss Monster is a great one. I recommend that. You're basically building a dungeon to stop the person going through the dungeon. You're acting as the boss monster, so it's a pretty cool game. But that's, again, I don't think based on an actual indie game. But what about you? Do you find anything on your end?
No. Oh, wait, I just saw something. Oh, did you know there's a Sea of Thieves board game?
Oh, I think I have it.
Oh.
Haven't played it, though.
Okay.
I haven't played it yet, because I think it might be more than two people, and, you know,
yeah,
gotta be in the right setting for that.
Well, sorry, Cap. I play good board games.
Pokemon. You know? Yeah.
I mean, I played the Pokemon board game, like, where, you remember that one from, like, when Pokemon was really popping?
No, I don't think so.
It was like the Master Trainer Pokemon Master Trainer board game.
Was it like a Pokemon Stadium?
No, yeah. It was like it was like a board game. You would travel through Kanto. You don't remember this box? It had like all of the Pokemon, the 151 Pokemon, or maybe it was just 150. It didn't have Mew on it. Oh, this game was sick. I don't know if it was good, but it was sick.
Yeah, I don't know. This is a 2005 board game. Yeah, I don't think I ever played this.
Yeah, I thought
the cards look.
They had like the little circle cards and stuff like that too. Like, yeah. They look like Pokeballs. Anyway, that game's sick, Cap. If you want to play that one, it's probably hard to find, to be honest. Next question comes from Kmore. I was playing Grounded and found out if you feed an Ant Queen an infected offering, that the New Game Plus will have an alternate Ant Queen. Do you think New Game Plus and other games should add things like that from a previous playthrough?
Yeah, I think that would be awesome. I think more games should have New Game Plus, because I think, you know, especially single player games that maybe pride themselves on like how difficult it is, I think they should always have a New Game Plus. I know one more recently that is an indie game is Another Crab's Treasure. Really enjoyed that one. Still doesn't have a New Game Plus as far as I know, and they are working on adding it. But I think that's something I'd like to see in more games. And yeah, more variety in a second playthrough, right, would be great. I really think my first kind of foray into something like that was like Master Quest for Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
Like that, all the dungeons were different and harder.
Mm-hmm.
So like that was really cool. And I would definitely like to see that more in games in general. But I think that's also why like roguelikes, right, have like taken off. Right, because every run is different.
Yeah,
you know?
every run's New Game Plus.
Exactly. Yeah, but definitely for like single player games, I'd like to see it, you know, at launch for these games.
I guess roguelikes are more like New Game Exponent, right?
Yeah,
this is like it's getting cubed a million times. Yeah, I like the idea of this. You know, what game that does just kind of release New Game Plus that we reviewed gave a really good rating and is right now, I think, 50% off, Four Blasters.
Oh, all right.
Check it
out. I didn't know they had a New Game Plus. That's cool.
Yeah, I'm due to hop back into that game. That game was awesome. But yeah, New Game Plus is sick, and I like the idea of what you're talking about, Kmore, where you do something in your first playthrough, or even just like if you're playing the regular base game and you're just like, oh, like it presents you with like a decision. You don't really know what the decision does, but then you play like New Game Plus and you're like, wait a second. Like, I decided to kill this character. Yeah. And then in New Game Plus, it's like another character rose to power because of it. That's like sick.
Yeah, that's definitely one thing. And like, specifically, I think of Elden Ring a lot with New Game Plus, right? I don't know if they were kind of the originators of that terminology, you know, I was so excited to do New Game Plus in Elden Ring, and I did it like, you know, three or four times, and every time was just like pretty easy, because you're just so overpowered from your first playthrough that, and there's also things that happen in Elden Ring where like if you choose, or any of the Souls games, if you choose like to kill a certain NPC, like you lose that entire storyline, right? But in New Game Plus, I don't believe that like happens. Like they just come back. So yeah, it'd be great if like your decisions had more weight and kind of carried over. And it would almost be like an extended roguelike, right? Like a story, like just a, yeah, I mean, that'd be really cool. Especially maybe even for like Telltale style games, right? Yeah. Like you can do New Game Plus, right? And like you get different outcomes of what could happen. Could definitely maybe in this world of AI that we're heading into, that will be more a possibility from like a dialogue standpoint or something.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? Not that I want that to be too integrated into games, but
well, they could probably use it to actually maybe not so much the dialogue, but actually like remember true, the thing that happened, because I feel like that's like probably the hardest thing about it, right? Like this whole idea that we're, you know, basing off of what happened in Grounded, right, is that that's probably a lot to code, right? And to just like a lot of memory for a game to have to like, you know, remember all that stuff. So pretty interesting. Now Arcarp comes in, and I know Arcarp personally loves cozy games. What would be your ideal cozy game, whether it's genre or anything like that?
Oh, man. Honestly, I think my ideal cozy game would be the foundation of it would be Animal Crossing.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like Animal Crossing, you know, just has a lot of like stationary moments, right? Whether you're trying to connect to something or you're going to like an island, like sometimes it can take a while to load, and like it's not a very fast-paced game. And I think there's actually a game on Steam called Dinkum that I think I talked about like ages ago, but it's essentially Animal Crossing, but it's like, you know, it's on Steam and it's like open world. I think there's maybe like multiplayer and stuff like that. But if there was like an official Animal Crossing that was like maybe way more open world and like just more seamless, and also had like that kind of maybe like MMO community feel, like I would love to like go into a town in Animal Crossing and it's real players and you could trade with them. Mm. I don't know. I feel like I could sit back on the couch and like play a game like that for as long as I played Animal Crossing, but just like, you know, for hours, basically.
Yeah.
I don't know that. Animal Crossing to me was always a game where I could just like the hours would fly by and it was just chill. Like, I had no stress whatsoever, even though I was so in debt, you know, to Tom Nook and Nook's Granny. So, probably something like that. If I had to make up a game, it would be based on Animal Crossing.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, it is the ultimate cozy game. This is not a cop out, but like I think I would like a deck builder roguelike. But no,
shocker.
Hear me out.
But it's dice.
And on sale right now. No, it's not combat based, right?
Okay.
So whether it's like each encounter or whatever, rather than it being combat, you have these cards as like whatever. It could even be like you have to play cards to impress people by the way you designed this house. Like you get like a blank house and your deck does all these different things. You're like, and there's different combos, right? You're like, well, if I paint this green and I use this green like sofa or whatever, that's going to be like the combos or something like that. It sounds crazy, but it's more like a puzzle game, and I don't think you should be able to lose, right? I don't think it should be a roguelike in the sense that like you're going to repeat it every single time. And maybe that doesn't even make it a roguelike, but it's more of like it's always endless mode, but like you are still progressing and you can always change your deck, and it's almost like being like a real life card game, right, where you just are always playing. But like you can hop in, like, oh, I'll play a couple of encounters, get a few new cards from my deck or whatever. That would be pretty sweet, I think. Because like you don't have to like really design a lot of cards, like or design like intense cards, but you can make so many cards that are just furniture pieces.
Yeah.
There's infinite furniture pieces. And like that's already like 2,000 cards you can throw into the game and like slowly build up. Kind of like Animal Crossing, how you can just get all the furniture, but like it takes forever to get all the furniture. So I think something like that would be kind of fun and like relaxing, because you're like, We'll see how many points I get. Like, let's see if I impress these people by how I design their house or something. It doesn't even have to be that. It could be like cooking or whatever. But
yeah. No, that's a cool idea. I like it. I could see that as being like a fun mobile game too. Just like, yeah, I got some time to kill, pick it up. Yeah. You know, that's cool. You know, for a second there in the beginning, I thought you were just gonna like describe Balatro. Like it's deck builder roguelike. It doesn't have combat. And it's got a green background. It's like poker.
It's like kind of psychedelic.
Yeah.
And then here's the twist, though. There's jokers, right?
Yeah.
There's these special kind of cards that affect your other cards. So, you know, but you can only play a couple of them. No, but thanks for the question, Arkarp. Very good one. That's going to do for the show. I think unless you want to take a little stop down at the rec room where we recommend something that isn't an indie game, then we'll say our goodbyes. What do you guys recommend this week?
I am recommending, actually, I will show this off on camera. This is the shirt I'm wearing, right? So it's an Eagles shirt. It's got an eagle. It says, "No one likes us, we don't care." And it says, like, the Super Bowl champs or whatever.
Licks?
Super Bowl licks. And so this came from my wife's aunt, she has an Etsy shop called Kathy's Finest. And they actually they make a bunch of like Yankee stuff. It's all like apparel and stuff like that. Necklaces and stuff, you know, but they have a ton of items. They've sold a ton. They have great reviews and I've heard about it, you know, like it's been around for a bit, like at the family parties, they talk about it, but Maria just got this for me out of nowhere from them, and she didn't order this, but they sent a little onesie too with the same thing on it for the baby. So we were like, oh, that's awesome. I'm just shouting out Kathy's Finest. People really love their baseball stuff. From what I see on here, like over 3,000 reviews, 5 stars on this baseball shirt here. So pretty cool stuff. Kathy's Finest. Check it out at CATHYS, and then Finest. And I think they even have an Instagram and some other stuff, but you can just search it on Etsy and, throw them some support if you like any of their stuff.
Yeah. Use promo code FRESH. Now.
Yeah, right? That'd be awesome. I got to set that up.
Oh, man. We probably wouldn't get a kickback. It's just drive more business. I'm recommending an album this week. So Sam Fender just put out an album called People Watching. If you don't know who Sam Fender is, you've probably heard his most famous song. It was pretty popping on TikTok in like 2021. It's called 17 Going Under. There's this like drop where you're this point where he's like, I was something scared to hit him, but I'd hit him in a heartbeat now. Blah, 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 blah. So that song's sick, 17 Going Under, but yeah, it's so sick, dude. Everything's sick right now, man. It's I don't know what's wrong with me. But People Watching just came out, full album, and it definitely feels a little bit more adult, like more mature coming from Sam Fender. Like, because his earlier hits, you know, definitely was like coming out of the like early 20 angst and kind of like lostness, and this feels a little bit more in line with like how like I feel like our generation's feeling a little bit more. But it's a really, I think, a great album from front to finish. You get a lot of like the first song, the title track, People Watching, I'm like, wow, this is like a more like not folk rocky, but like a definitely more real instrument version of the Killers, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
like a lot more some acoustic guitar in there, but also like, you know, more piano and not as synthy as the Killers, but you know, not that the Killers are bad or anything like that. So he's got a similar voice to Brandon Flowers, but actually good.
Hey, that you played them at your wedding.
I like the Killers. And then there's like points where you're like, wow, like definitely the songwriting has a Bruce Springsteen-esque feel to it. And then there's some songs you're like, this feels like classic Genesis in a way. So a lot of different influences there. And then just this kind of fresh take to how we're all feeling, and it's good. There's some bangers. I would say if you're on the fence about listening, but if you like the things that I've mentioned, watch or not watch, listen to People Watching, and then listen to Arm's Length are like the two, I think, the best songs off the album. But I think the whole thing's good.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I saw you shared this on the Insta.
On the IG.
There you go. Yeah. Any relation to the Fender Guitar Company?
I mean, you never know, right? Like,
yeah.
Sometimes that's what you need is like a leg up to get right? into the music industry. So maybe, but I don't yeah. think so.
Great name though.
Yeah.
Fender. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. So check that out. And that's going to do for the show, folks. It's going to do. I'm done with the pod. I'm Tommy Fresh. You can find me at Fresh Buds Pod everywhere. I have another podcast called Fresh and Buds. This week, my original guest, Taylor Morrow, one of my closest friends, is on the podcast again, and he's just the best. And, you know, he brings a different vibe than the other guests, I promise. The vibe that's like, this is a conversation in a coffee shop somewhere, and then loud laughing randomly. So there's that, and you can find us on all socials at Fresh Juice Pod. Matthew, where can people find you?
Find me at Matty Gorm, G-O-R-M, on all the socials and such. But Tommy, another good ep in the books. Also, I do want to say we are still using a new uploading tool.
Mm.
And so we understand there's been some delays with Spotify, and we probably should have mentioned this at the beginning of the show, Spotify and YouTube. But we're working through it, and it's a kind of a beta tool. So you know, just bear with us, and the episodes will go out at some point. So well, don't worry about that.
Listen, if they're getting affected by this, they didn't hear us say it at any point in the podcast. So because
that's true,
but YouTube seems to be the most reliable. So until that, if this doesn't show up on your audio platforms, there, check out the YouTube.
So. Yeah. Yep. There we go.
Fresh juice. Fresh, fresh juice. Fresh juice. Fresh, fresh.